Shir 15 is part 2 of Chelev and Dam that we started in 14. We are now going to examine the deeper meaning of the prohibition against consuming blood. What does blood do in an animal? So blood represents the essence of the animal. It's what connects the entire organism into one and allows the cells to communicate with each other. Each cell receives oxygen, expels carbon dioxide, and each receives everything else that it needs to survive from the bloodstream. We could say that blood represents the whole body in a liquid state. Just as a side point, Diane Grunfeld gives an average count of red blood cells in an adult male as being 5 million red blood cells per cubic millimeter of blood. So I looked this up to see if this average is still considered correct. It's been many, many years since this book has been written. And turns out that for a female, it's between 3.6 to 5 million per cubic millimeter. And for men, it's slightly higher, being between 4.2 to 5.4 million red blood cells per cubic millimeter of blood. Now, that's all very nice, but well before modern science, man already knew of the importance of blood. Clearly, if one loses blood, they are in grave danger of dying. Like George Washington, for example, famous story that he was actually bled to death. The phrase for murder used to be to shed blood. The opposite of this is that since it was known that blood was important, people associated all sorts of superstitions with blood, demons, and idolatry, and we find this described by Greek and Roman authors. Rambam writes that eating blood led to worshiping spirits, and because of this, the Torah uses the same strong language in regard to consuming blood to that of sacrificing a child to Molech, in that the Torah says that Hashem will set his face against that individual. You can find this both in Vayikra 17:10 and 25. Other groups of people wouldn't actually consume the blood, but they would use blood as food for demons, that's what they believed, and while they would eat the flesh of an animal, they would have the blood of that animal in a vessel in front of them. They believed that they were sharing a meal with demons. Now, all of this, of course, is absolute nonsense, and the Torah is out to rid humans of any erroneous beliefs. Now, these beliefs in and of themselves are bad and destructive regarding blood, but they led to worse behaviors in terms of morality, licentiousness, ritual murder, and sacrificing children, and all of this fits into the Molech narrative. Now, I should point out in passing that it is a machlokas among the commentators if an actual sacrifice was performed by the Molech service, or if it consisted of passing the child in between pillars of fire without actually harming the child. Now, Diane Grunfeld seems to be taking the more common understanding and approach that we find in ancient writings and from excavations, that such things most definitely happened. And the writings are gruesome. If you Google it, you'll see it's pretty nasty stuff. And this is the opinion of Ramban, among other Rishonim. I think Rashi says this as well. Now, the reason that I'm mentioning this here is that Rambam, who we've been quoting until now, he holds that the child was not actually harmed. And it seems to me that the more simple understanding is probably accurate based on what we've said, but that's, of course, only my personal feeling. And again, this is a machlokas Rishonim. So Rambam says that there are two commandments that are meant to help us move away from superstition and evil practices. So one relates to eating meals around blood, like we discussed. And this is based on Vayikra 19:26. And the second commandment did not allow the generation of the desert to eat any cattle other than during the sacrificial service, as can be seen from Vayikra 17:1-7. The Egyptians worshipped the ram, they worshipped the goat, and an idol called Pan, which was a god of generative power. And the Jewish people were steeped in this culture, and later they were surrounded by other cultures that used blood and demons. Everything that the Torah stands against, which ended in uncontrolled animalism. So this, Rambam tells us, is one of the reasons that blood is banned for our consumption. Ramban, on the other hand, gives a much more basic reason for the prohibition against blood than idol worship and morality. Ramban tells us to look in Vayikra 17:11-12, and the Torah there tells us why blood is forbidden. So let's start with 11. It says, Ki nefesh habasar badamhi, v'ani nesativ lachem al hamizbeach, l'chaper al nafshu sichem, ki hadam hu banefesh shichaper. And in 12 it says, Al kein amarti livnei Yisrael, kol nefesh mikem lo sochal dam, v'hager hagar b'suchichem lo yochal dam. So let's summarize these psukim as Dayan Grunfeld does. He says as follows. He translates that, for the soul of the flesh is in the blood. Therefore, I have said to the Bnei Yisrael, no one among you shall eat blood. Here, we return to the idea we discussed earlier, that by consuming blood, the animalistic nature of the animal will pass to humans. Animal flesh is something that the Torah permits to us in Bereishis 9:3. The flesh itself is passive and can become part of the human body. Blood, on the other hand, which using the Torah's own words is called the soul or the life of the animal, so that should never become part of the human makeup. Now, the psukim throughout the Torah that deal with blood and it being the soul of the animal are very complicated in that the commentators argue over the correct translations of these psukim. Rav Hirsch understands the word nefesh to mean soul, and the phrase damo b'nafsho he translates to mean the blood governed by its soul. Rav Hirsch bases these translations on the pasuk in Bereishis 9:4, which reverses the order of these same words. The pasuk says, Ach basar b'nafsho damo lo sochelu. And Rav Hirsch translates this pasuk as flesh whose blood is still governed by its soul. And this translation is very different from other commentators. When the Torah discusses blood and life, it wants to avoid representing the spirit, soul, and life in a physical manner. When the Torah tells us, Ki hadam hu hanefesh, it does not mean to tell us that the blood is the soul itself. The Torah is expressing that blood is the seat of life, which is ruled over by the soul. The blood is the visible messenger of the soul, which is the invisible, and how the soul rules the body. This is what the Torah means with the words b'nafsho damo. As long as its blood is governed by its soul, we're not permitted to eat from the flesh if it's still under the control of or the influence of the soul, in other words, the blood, as we do not want it to become part of our soul or our personality. This will also help us understand ki hadam hu banefesh yechaper. It is a mistake to think that the blood alone provides atonement. The only way we can return to Hashem and repent is to do teshuvah, which literally means to return, return to Hashem. The blood is symbolic. We are, so to say, lifting our souls to Hashem. So we see that the close relationship between blood and the neshama, the soul, is a symbolic expression using animal blood to represent the human soul on the Mizbeach. At the same time, we can transfer it by eating into the human sphere. To quote directly, the Torah is thus at pains to negate any identification of the human soul with the animal soul, just as it is anxious to avoid the materialistic error of identifying blood and soul. For the nations of the world, only a limb cut from a living animal, right, Eiver Min HaChai, is called still being under the influence of the animal's soul. For the Jewish nation, on the other hand, we need more than that due to our service to Hashem, and therefore, in addition to Eiver Min HaChai, we cannot consume blood since it would affect the Jewish personality and moral character that we're supposed to maintain. So that takes care of our discussion on chilev and dam. So let's sum this up. In conclusion, we could say that blood refers to the essence of the animal, and chilev to the activity of the animal. Both chilev and dam should not be, actually it's more than not be, it's osur, cannot be made part of the Jew, because it will affect him as a servant of Hashem. Chilev symbolizes the self, while blood symbolizes the essence of the animal, its vitality, called nefesh chiyunis. Man, in addition to this nefesh chiyunis, his animalistic side, has a nishmas ha'adam, an eternal soul. If the Jew absorbs chilev or dam, he is denying moral freedom and the immortality of his soul. For the non-Jew, so we have these ideas symbolized by the injunction not to eat Eiver Min HaChai. For the Jew, who works for God on a different level and needs a specialized personality structure, we have the prohibition of blood, as it says in Devarim 12:23-25. One of the things the Torah lists in these psukim is that by refraining from consuming blood, things will go well with us in our lives, since we are doing what is yashar, correct, in the eyes of Hashem. The Torah is connecting happiness and morality with the command to stay away from dam, from blood. We can be yashar, morally straight, towards what Hashem wants us to do by staying away from these animalistic influences that are connected with the dam. Diane Grunfeld ends the chapter by saying as follows. There is much to be said for the view that is the abstention from the consumption of blood and forbidden fat in conjunction with the influence of the other dietary laws which have bestowed upon our nation those qualities for which the Jew is admired: clarity of mind, purity of morals, gentleness of heart, an unequaled family life, a unique spirit of charity, with an enthusiasm for all that is humane, pure, good, and noble, and, at the same time, the courage, endurance, steadfastness, and self-sacrificing spirit, which are evidenced throughout our long and checkered history. So this concludes Chapter 7, Lecture 15, where we basically discussed Rav Hirsch's understanding of chilev and dam, and next time we will examine some of the Rishonim and what they have to say about the reason behind chilev and dam.